Community Radio.
CHRY
105.5.
We're joined in the studio today by three community activists based out of Rexdale. And we're going to be talking about an issue that we covered in the latest issue of Basics, an article that we called Fenced Out, a situation where the community residents in Rexdale were told that they were going to be getting a revitalized and renovated sports complex and facility at the site of Father Henry Carr under the pretenses of uplifting what is labeled as a priority community, only to have it now fenced off and closed off from the wider community, which has been using the track for many years. And the three guests who join us in the studio today are longtime community activists and organizers in the neighborhood, perhaps with too many organizational affiliations, past and present, to list at this point. But I'd like to thank Barry Marsh, Peter DeGamma, and Patricia Crooks for being on the show with us today. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So perhaps we can start just by giving our listeners a bit of a background on how this renovation or revitalization process started at the site of Father Henry Carr, which is a Catholic secondary school in Toronto.
Well, it started in 2010, but most of the community members were not really aware of what was going on until the fence was actually put up on the construction site, and was put on the fence that under construction, but it did not specifically say what was under construction. So the residents around were sure of what was going on until the field was actually renovated and the mat mm-hmm. was put down, and then it was fenced out. And people were really upset because they have been using it for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And this was a track with a field, right?
This was a track was there before, mm-hmm. and it was one of the better tracks around, although there are tracks at West Humber, but it's really a stony track.
Mm-hmm.
So people used it morning and evenings, as early as 5 a.m. in the morning. You could see people running, and evenings and weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And you have pickup football and all that. The community play on the weekend, mm-hmm. and that was all cut off suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Now, based on the article that you guys just wrote for Basis Community News Service, you describe how the money that was received was in the grant that was applied for by the TD Toronto Catholic District School Board, the priority status. Priority neighborhood status of Rexdale was really played up in order to get this money under the pretense that it would uplift the community, that it would be an important community resource. But now it's fenced off. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I can. That's one aspect of it that we also found troubling. As you know, in 2008, when the financial crisis hit, the federal government introduced a stimulus program. Part of that stimulus program was a program called RINC. Recreational and funding infrastructure funding for things like hockey rinks and things like that. So the history of this funding proposal goes back to 2009, and the school board originally applied to the city for some funding. It was mm-hmm. refused,
mm-hmm.
and then they applied in May 2009 to the infrastructure program. And this, although public meeting was scheduled, it was. There was no notice to the public because it took May 25th was the meeting, and May 29th was the deadline to put the application in for the RINC program.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, there was no school board per se. There were no trustees, elected trustees, because the board was under supervision because of a financial scandal mm-hmm. of the previous regime. So this application funding proposal was put through. And it stated numerous things to get the grant. The way it was targeted to get the grant was the mention of community, that the facility would be, once completed, would be the focal point. It would be a community hub.
Yeah.
And it would bring, it played up as the community status as a priority neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
with supporting letters from Ron Tavner, Bill Blair, and the archdiocese. But the important thing is that we found troubling is that they mentioned community, and they also mentioned access, that the community would have access to this during non-school hours, working with the city. Mm-hmm. And when I brought this up later with the trustee, he said in May of this year they decided to impose fees.
User fees,
starting permit fees, starting from $55 an hour.
Wow.
And going up to $100.
Clearly not something that you would take out if you wanted to play a game of pickup football or frisbee, right? Just to quote directly the Toronto Catholic District School Board, which you cite in the article for Basics, a TCDSB report explicitly stated that, quote, "The community will benefit because an artificial field can be used all day regardless of weather or season. Therefore, the opportunity is present to let the field be used by the community and all sports groups in the evenings, summer, and weekends when school is not in operation." And clearly no indication there of user fees.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. The only indication that there would be user fees, and they didn't make this mention in their proposal, was internal board memos, and leading up to May 29th, of this year, but before the proposal. No.
Mm-hmm. Also, to quote once again one of those reports, "The community has been identified in the Toronto Strong Neighborhood Strategy as one of the neighborhoods appropriate for investment where social services are most out of step with need." Once again, clearly demonstrating that this money was got on the pretenses of helping the wider community, which it now is not.
But in that, like from what Barry, you were saying, in the initial application for those funds, the TCDSB didn't have any kind of community consultation to see if this was in fact something that was desired or needed by the community.
No, it didn't have any consultation with the community as to how the field would develop and how it would be used. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I went one evening after school to the school and asked the principal, Mr. Rossetti, why can't the community use the field? And he told me, quote, "We have to protect our investment," unquote. So at that time, I asked him, who are we supposed to speak to? And he gave me a card, one of his card, and he wrote on the back, the Toronto School Board and the trustee. So at that time, we decided that we would make a presentation to the board and ask for access to the track, which we are doing now.
Which you're now in the process of doing, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about. So Rossetti told you that we want to protect our investment.
Correct.
And clearly what he's referencing there is the people who traditionally have been using the track for 25 years. He wanted to protect the investment from them using it.
Because I asked
and taxpayers. Don't forget that these people are taxpayers.
Yeah, taxpayers.
Exactly.
And indeed, like it's, I mean, I'm sure that the community, the track was being accessed by the broader community, but the immediate community there is also its homeowners. It's a residential neighborhood where you have homeowners that were also using the track. So, you know, this is Ford's the constituency he likes to play up big time. And so, what work is being undertaken right now to try to pressure the TCDSB, the local trustees, into opening that field back up to community access?
Well, Peter sent an email to Quadri, and he's the MP for the area. Mm-hmm. And he was part of the MP who also lobbied for this, mm-hmm. This funding. He hasn't responded. I sent a letter to Dr. Kirsty Duncan, mm-hmm. she's the MP for the area,
mm-hmm.
the federal. And I've been trying to get an appointment with her, and to give her some credit, they've tried to several times to get together, and on the 9th?
Yeah, on the 9th, Friday.
On Friday the 9th, we had a 9:30 appointment to meet with her, but then early in the morning, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, her assistant sent emailed to us and said that she had pneumonia and couldn't make it. We were disappointed, but she was sick. So we haven't actually met with the MPs yet to talk to an MP. I think you mentioned it to...
Yeah, I spoke to the local councillor, Vincent Crisanti, and I mentioned specifically in that part of the proposal where the school board said it would work with the city to make it accessible to the public. And he said he hadn't heard about that from them, and he gave him a copy, and he said he would take it and discuss it with somebody within the school administration or the board. And I haven't heard back since then. But we found this is an issue that resonates with people because we've gone door to door with the petition that we'll be taking to the board meeting, and we've got over 200 signatures, and it's every house that where we had a respondent signed the petition.
Yeah.
And clearly it's an activity they took for granted. Just physical activity early mornings or evenings, and they find, and some of them thought that it would be open to them, like they were going to renovate it.
Yeah.
And when they saw the locks, and a lot of them found it disturbing and they were rather upset. And so we're going to take this petition. The petition is on December 15th at 7 o'clock at the Toronto School Board head office, and that's at Yonge and Sheppard.
That's the Toronto Catholic District Head Office, I mean, this story is just, it seems like it's such an outrage because this was, you know, not only because this access to this space was taken away from the community, it's such an important vital access, you know, to physical education, the right to play and to, you know, to sport, but it was taken away while the pretenses of the investment were all about helping the community. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about how this blow to the community is being felt in the context where cuts are coming all across the board and people are losing access to you know, community and school pools and other types of programming in the community. Just tell us a little bit about how, you know, this current context that we're living in with all these cuts coming, how is this affecting Rexdale?
For me, I think it's a big blow. First of all, I think that they pimped our community is what they did. To get the proposal is basically what they pimped our community. They did not consult the community in regards to getting access to the track or to ask permission if they could put a fence around that track. With the new crime bill that's coming out, you're locking out a group of people who are low income, who the kids, their parents are working two and three jobs. This is the track that was used by families. The elderly, health-wise, if you look at it, it's a devastation to the community, and no one cares. And if you look at the crime bill with a lot of the kids that are falling out of school, this is something that the kids could use in the community.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, you are actually putting the kids in a more detrimental situation.
Yeah.
Okay, you're sending them out there basically with no security. Anywhere to go, even, I mean, with the resources falling in the community, with the recreation programs, where are the kids going to go? Where are the young people going to go? Okay? So we need to take a look at this, what's going on with our new government, that what's taking place right now.
Definitely. You know, the situation, although crime statistics show that, you know, violent crimes have been on the decline for a very long time, you know, progressively, steadily, for decades now, obviously the broader context in which crime occurs is never addressed by this tough on crime agenda ideology that the conservatives propagate and that other like-minded forces propagate. That context is the social context and the economic context.
That's right.
The context of rising unemployment, the context
That's
of
right.
Service cuts where youth don't actually have those same opportunities, where, I mean, another issue entirely, maybe we can save for another show, is the mass expulsions of
exactly.
students. Which, yeah, I guess we'll leave that as another issue we can deal with on another day.
And don't forget, when they give you those statistics about the crime rate going down, they're looking at a broad context in the Canadian society. They're not looking at a particular community.
True.
And Rexdale is a particular community where there's a lot of young African Americans, and I'm going to go there. There are a lot of young African Americans who are falling out of schools. I'm telling you, the 45% dropout rate in Rexdale is ludicrous. It's ludicrous, and these are the kids that are going to fill our jails. And we need to take a look at these things, okay? We need to take a look at what, I'm sorry, our mayor is doing, you know, cutting all the resources in our community, along with the Father Henry Carr, and using our community, and not looking out for our kids. This is our future generation, and we need to step up and look out for these kids. And no one is doing that.
And I would say, I mean, more than, and I think obviously you intended that by the rest of the thing, but not falling out, but being pushed out.
Pushed out, exactly.
And now community spaces. And in fact, you know, one thing that you mentioned in terms of Rexdale in particular, and about the crime rates, or at least in a broad spectrum of reported crimes going down, the highest crime rate Toronto ever had was in the early 1990s. As a result of, you know, Mike Harris and all the other programs that were put in place. And this is exactly mirroring those policies that were enacted of cutting after-school programs, cutting community centers, and at the same time, massively expanding the police budget. And as we now see, the $20 billion going towards prison expansion.
Exactly.
So we see where the priorities are, and we see that it's a relationship, that this is not an accident, these are
not
misguided policies.
That's right.
These seem to be quite deliberate.
It is deliberate. And what it is, even with the Father Henry Carr, I mean, people, Mr. Marsh, Barry has been living there for 30 years, and he never got a notice as to, you know, consultation as to whether he wanted a fence there, as to whether he wanted a $1 million track there. I mean, nobody will reject to having a nice track within the community, but he never got any noticed, you know, so you didn't even consult the community.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, right? If this was clearly their, if this was their intention all along, then such a consultation would have just blown up in their face. And I think the city, you know, municipal forces, political and bureaucratic forces, have a sufficient degree of experience with these phony consultation processes, whether it be the closure of schools with the accommodation review committees, the ARC process, or whether it be these phony consultations when they're about to revitalize a community where they bring people out to try to win them over to their agenda. And almost all the time, those consultations blow up in their face as a big fiasco. So I guess it kind of makes sense why they didn't contact you guys, because they were intending to, you know, they wanted to, you know, on the one hand, play up, trump up the priority status, as you say, pimp the community in order to get that money. But then they didn't want to let the community know that they were doing this because they never intended the field to be used by the community.
Yeah.
And we get that from, during the time we're signing the petition, you get that outrage from residents.
That's right.
Residents that were just behind you have the affordable housing community behind there, the single family housing, and we went all through that, and you could sense the outrage from the residents.
Yeah,
90% of those who came to the door signed the petition. So they're concerned. They have a lot of people that are concerned, and they felt that they're not being consulted or they don't care. People commented that they can only do this in this community, in Rexdale. They would not do that in other communities. Yeah.
In Richmond Hill. Yeah. They would not do it up in
Woodbridge.
They would not do that.
Yeah. Although for them, $50 would be akin to being free.
That's true.
You know, just to maybe close up our discussion from today, I'm you know, we've been talking about some very broad issues, contextualizing this, you know, this clawing back of this resource from the community and just, you know, restricting it to the school attendance of Father Henry Carr, to the community who attends the school only. But we're looking at this in the broader context of cuts, service cuts coming down on the community very broadly across all of Toronto, across the whole world right now, right? In the context of, you know, criminalization policies that are going to put more youth in jail. And I know you mentioned some of the tactics that you're taking to try to put some pressure to appeal to these forces, that, like, it's not like you're asking for more money. You're not asking for millions of dollars. No. You're just asking to open the damn fence so that people could use it, right? I'm interested, well, the question I have for you is, how do you feel about community organizing and community organizing strategy in this time, in this context, where we're coming under attack from all sides? Like, what really needs to be done to mobilize people and to actually make change in this context?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I was just thinking as you're talking, I'm pleading to the community. I know that what the system does is it keeps us so tired. We have families who are working 2 and 3 jobs, and when they come home, they're exhausted. Basically, all you want to do is eat and go to sleep. But as I'm asking, I'm pleading to my community that we need to stand up. We need to stand up for our rights, and we need to fight. Okay, Barry and Peter and myself, I mean, we love doing what we do, but we're only 3 people. Yeah. And we need the community to get up and stand up and speak up for your rights. Even though you're tired, come out. You know, when we're organizing community meetings, please come out and speak up. That's the only way that we're going to get things changed. Community organizing is extremely important. Mm-hmm. You know, one voice can change, but a multitude of people can do a whole lot of things.
Definitely. Peter, Barry, any final thoughts?
Well, it's difficult to get people to come out, yeah, because there is a meeting at Elm Bank, where
Community Center, right?
Elm Bank Community Center, yeah, where our Councillor Crisanti, he made a motion at the board to remove the priority from Priority Neighborhood for Investment. That, yeah, is the acronym. So he wants to remove that, and he had community hearings too for that. And only about two or three residents showed up. I only heard about it last minute.
What was the justification for removing priority? Like, what? Why would he want to do that?
Well, he said it gives the neighborhood a negative connotation to the neighborhood. Mm. And why not give... extend this to other neighborhoods. So, but...
It was the same priority name that got him the funding. It was the same priority name that got him the funding. Now you want to remove it?
The whole thing is the amount of funding would be distributed to, the same amount of funding would be distributed to the wider large portion of the city, mm-hmm, which dilutes the actual amount given per capita. And also, the justification, he wants to attract private investment, and I think that's one of the things that the ideological tools is they want to degrade public investment, and then sell these properties off. And the other issue that's also in Rexdale is the TTC cuts, the 36 Finch bus, mm-hmm, cuts right through, yeah, from Rexdale, yeah, to Jane and Finch. And the councillor, when he got elected, he said he would make no cuts. And, mm-hmm, speaking, he said he would cut the LRT, but build a subway. From building a subway, we now gone to so-called enhanced bus service. Mm-hmm. I asked, yeah, him for that report, and it still hasn't come out yet. He said it's coming out in January. But it seems like they just want things to the service, the TDC service, to deteriorate, so they can justify either cutting it or,
yeah,
selling it.
And we saw that in the announcements last week with the fare scheduled to go up, services, mm-hmm, going down, basically paying more, getting less.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barry, Peter, Patricia, thank you so much for being on Radio Basics tonight. We hope to have you back sometime soon discussing this issue and further issues in Rexdale. And we also encourage our listeners to actually go to basicsnews.ca. You can read about this issue in particular in the article that was written this past week by Barry Marsh and Peter DeGama, and check out other issues at basicsnews.ca.
If you have Basics paper at your doorstep, you'll notice it's the front page issue. And really, I mean, as has been mentioned by Barry, Peter, and Patricia, this is something that's not just limited to this one circumstance. This is happening throughout the city. So if you have a story about, you know, a similar community space in your neighborhood or area becoming more inaccessible, becoming, you know, essentially what it seems to be run like a business as opposed to a service for the community, let us know. Write in, visit the website, email us, contact us, and let us know about how austerity is breaking down at that local community level.
So again, guys, thanks a lot for being in the studio with us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, have a good night.
voice of the community. This is CHRY 105.5 FM.
Red Extel 2005. It's like everybody want to know how I get like this, how, you know, and that the whole city, you know, everybody banged out. It's crazy right now, you know. It ain't gonna stop. You know, it's gonna get a lot more worse before it get any better. Hood in the hell.
They say there's two sides to every story. And I got a million more. As real as they come. They say there's two sides.
Guns go off in the ghetto, people running for their lives, hammers keep like a puerto. Nowhere to hide, we all up in the middle. Plus the hood got pride, so we stuck in the pickle. Why you clutching the pistol? If you ain't down to ride, homie, frontin' no fish. And the city said we out of control, but the truth is the city left us out in the cold. Left the youth to work this out on their own. Don't wanna treat us like we shoot because we out of the zone. And then they wonder why we act that way, dealing with that bullshit half the day. Ain't been the same since kids passed away. Sometimes I drop to my knees, Lord, I have to pray. They gave us coke to sell and gas to spray, knowing we broke as hell and bills have to
they
pay.
They say there's two sides to every story, and I got a million more. As real as they come. They say there's two sides to every story, and I got a million more. As real as they come.
Gotta understand that these kids don't know a world without crack cocaine, you know. And that's thanks to trickle-down Reaganomics, which was the Mulroney years up here, where, you know, they took away the community centers, the after-school programs, and, you know, and flooded the place with crack, you know, with drugs and guns. Niggas ain't had nothing to do but hang around, be a target and shit. And niggas is broke. They wasn't handing out jobs nowhere. So now you got niggas risking their freedom to eat. You know what I mean? But here come Johnny Law. You know, the older generation keep getting swept off. The younger generation got no guidance. And the cycle go again. You lucky you find two parents in a home. You know.
They say there's two sides to every story. And I got a million more. As real as they come. They say there's two sides.
We're back, Radio Basics, CHRY 105.5 FM. Some Jellystone, that's actually a group, for people that don't know, from Jamestown, which is right near Martin Grove and Finch, the neighborhood that where this locked off center is located, where the organizers that just came on were from. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the situation. I mean, when we see the parallels are really startling. About the policies that were put in place in the 1990s, about, you know, the Canada's Reagan era, as they call it, under Mulroney, under Harris, under Bob Rae, and the impact that had on communities like Jamestown, like Rexdale, but in fact all over the city, when you saw, like, that was Canada's, that was Toronto's crack era. That's when crime, you know, drug use skyrocketed. It's when mm-hmm. dropout rates skyrocketed, unemployment, and it seems increasingly that, you know, we're turning back towards not as if the period in between was rosy by any standards, but we're turning back to that time period in which a lot of these programs and services that, I mean, are essentially there to buy off the community, to you know, keep the vision of the system around us blurry and fuzzy. No. Are disappearing, and it's becoming clear to people what the reality of the situation is.
In fact, the period since then has not been a rosy period at all. It's been, what I wanted to comment on that, Kabir, was that it's been a period of a lot of illusions where lot of people were asking themselves, how do we let this happen to ourselves? How do we let this happen to ourselves? How do we let, you know, like, let's never let Harris come back, you know, let's never let Mulroney come back.
And that being the point, right?
But the point is that people saw the Liberals and the NDP as the solution, right? As like the way to keep, you know, this is in every election we get this come up, right? Like block the conservatives, keep the conservatives out, keep Rob Ford out. But what ends up happening is that another set of managers of the system, another set of politicians and bureaucrats who really fundamentally do not have any vision for the economy and for the political system that's different than what the conservatives do, they just won't, you know, come with the cuts as hard and fast as the conservatives will. And they'll do it with a smile on instead of with, you know, telling you what they're going to do to you.
Yeah.
It's like Bush versus Obama or Miller versus Ford. It's really...
Instead with the I'm the mayor of the effing city. But I mean, I think that that's a really important point too. That, you know, Ford as an individual, I think most people can acknowledge is a scumbag. You know, as an individual, there's definitely an issue people take with him. But in terms of the policies that he's implementing, in terms of the policies that are being implemented, even at the federal level, or, you know, again, looking at someone like Mike Harris, like we tend to, or the media in particular tends to individualize these things.
Exactly. And this is the danger even with Rob Ford.
But in fact, these policies are an economic necessity at this point in time. So it really wouldn't matter, regardless of who would be in power, these things would be implemented. We can just look to the states. We can look at the provincial level where we have, you know, McGuinty in power, whatever. Like these things are what the current state of the Canadian economy necessitates.
And by that, I think you mean is you're not justifying these attacks on the workers. What you're saying is that, and I agree with you, that that this economic system, capitalism, for it to continue
to function,
necessitates an intensification of the exploitation of peoples, of the labor force, of working class people, of the plunder of the world's natural resources and bountiful, minerals and gases and oils and so on and so forth. It necessitates the privatization and the elimination of social services on a massive scale that we have not.
Yeah. In lieu of, you know, billions of dollars in bailouts and, you know, whatever other.
Yeah. In fact, I just heard I saw last week that all the Canadian banks posted record profits again.
Yeah.
For like, you know, I don't know how many years in a row that record profits have been posted. How can this be possible when more and more people are going bankrupt, when people aren't able to pay off their debts, when people are, you know, how can we have a jobless recovery? What does that actually mean? What this means is that the corporations, the monopoly capitalists, are plundering the assets of the people and the state.
Yeah.
Right. So this is coming through attacks on our wages. This is coming through the attacks on our pensions, through the attacks on social services, through privatizing state assets at fire sale prices. And this really, to put things into proper historical perspective, is merely, the chickens coming home to roost. These policies have been implemented under the guise of like the IMF and the World Bank and
structural adjustment programs.
Structural adjustment programs for a very long time, for decades and decades and decades. It's just that at this stage of capitalism, this is what's necessitated to keep
within
this game
the imperial
going
centers,
in the centers that we're in right now.
Yeah. Never mind, you know, keeping the troops of the state, keeping the armed wing of the state loyal at this period in time when there's increased resistance, increased
discontent. That's why you gotta pay those cops more. That's why you gotta keep those military servicemen happy. Although I don't, you know, a lot of them, I think, face some of the, you know, once in a while are confronted with the reality of what it is to participate in the occupation of an occupied people. And, they realize they're not being received as liberators, but as oppressors. And, you know, that has its own contradictions that it produces. But in any case, let's bring it back home. We got an event this coming Thursday, the Basics, alongside Jane Finch Action Against Poverty, is helping organize. It's actually called Our Community is Under Attack, Know Your Rights, Beat That Case, Resist Police Brutality. And it's happening this week at Yorkwood's Library. That's 1785 Finch West, I believe it is. Anyways, it's Yorkwood's Library.
So you're right across from Tobermory.
Tobermory and Finch, just a little bit east of Jane, on the south side of Finch.
Definitely. I mean, this is an event where the primary purpose is to get people out there, get the community out there, and discuss policing, discuss, you know, what are the roots of crime in the community, and clearly the state's response to it, which is to brutalize, criminalize, lock up, you know, youth, is not the answer, and is in fact crime unto itself, but that there are real issues that the community is dealing with and that we need to address, that we need to hear people's experiences, and those experiences need to be collectivized and you know, concentrated.
So please come out to that event that's happening.
But,
yeah.
But also, I mean, in terms of a service that's going to be offered there, if there's anybody out there that has a case right now, has charges, there's going to be a lawyer there who's going to be giving free legal advice, who's going to be handing out Know Your Rights booklets. And
not particular to specific cases, your specific case, but general legal advice on knowing your rights and also the reality.
And in fact, he will be able to answer questions in regards to people's specific cases as well. Yeah. But yeah, his presentation is going to focus in general, and as well as kind of summarizing this new crime bill and what that's going to mean. As people are now facing increased unemployment, as youth find it more and more difficult to get a job. And many people have to resort to means that are extra legal. We now have this apparatus set up to sweep them into the prison system. So we'll be discussing that as well. And that being just one of the many issues that's covered in the new issue of Basics, we'll also be having that for you on the 15th at that event. The front page story was the one we covered today on the show, but we're talking about a number of issues. The omnibus crime bill, what's been going on in Somalia, essentially the attack on us. I mean, every issue has been the attack on working and poor people that's taking place, not just within this country, not just in the city, but throughout the world.
That's right. So you can check all that out and more at basicsnews.ca, including this, the podcasted version of this radio show tonight and a lot of our past shows. You know, stay tuned, check us out at basicsnews.ca and here every Monday, 8 to 9 p.m. at CHRY 105.5 FM. And finally, we just want to remind our listeners that we are People's Radio, you know, not only here at CHRY, but as a people's media organization. Basics Community News Service works through the people. So as you were listening to our guests in the studio here tonight, Peter, Patricia, and Barry, you know, these are regular, you know, working class folks, you know, from our neighborhoods who are taking up the important work of speaking out and writing on important community struggles and issues. You don't have to be a writer. You don't have to be a journalist. We're not. They aren't. To get involved with our organization. So we want to encourage you to check us out, get involved, do what you can, even if it's only distributing, you know, our newspaper door-to-door in your building or in your community. Basics.canada@gmail.com. More information at basicsnews.ca, or you can call us here in the studio before we bounce. 416-736-5656, 416-736-5656. You can talk to me or Kabir about more of that. And that's all we got for tonight. I thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Most definitely. Stay tuned next week.
All right, this track we're going out with is Power Struggle, Artificial Freedom. And stay tuned. We got Every Day I Have the Blues coming up next on CHOY 105.5 FM. Radio Basics, we're out.
This is us, this is it. ain't a gang rap killer with a rap sheet iller than a Stephen King thriller. Never seen a blood spiller. Hood nerd living, cooking, rhyming in the kitchen. Mama working all night. Wouldn't let me be a victim. Give me signs of religion to explain how we living. Rice and fried chicken, get them through another winter. Drinking liquor like a sinner. Always been a good tipper, cause the worker, so a server gotta bring family. Paint a picture like my homie, drama, peace, and releasing. Demons, other people seeking freedom, searching for Eden. Still believe in God, but God don't believe in us. Cause we trust the dollar bill more than the will to love. Rub my will with blood, and I leave what I got. A couple silver bullets that never got shot. Call me superstitious, I'm a shit without a doc. A soul without a body, wandering the block. This is us, this is it. 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 Got that hunger like a boxer coming out of Project Living. Power struggle, repping Frisco from Excelsior to Mission. Steady mobbing, found my calling, walking through the jungle like a freedom fighting rebel. Serve the people, not the devil. Mold them like metal, make them sharper than a Cupid dart. Artificial freedom for the movement, I'm making art. Freedom ain't official if majority are broken. Start writing what I see, let Mr. Ray press a card. Steady getting dizzy, got a million rhymes I wrote before. Probably write a billion more before this record hits the store. Rappers lying raw, like they got a lion's roar behind it all. Is an image, is it an A&R, signing for, signing off. But y'all keep your heads bopping. Ain't nobody stopping as long beats keep beat rocking. Fat gums, E.T., know me, Mr. Ray. Power struggle, one love from the Bay to L.A. This is us, this is it. This is us, this is it. This is us, this is it.